Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is a day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it as we move forward in the Word of God. What a moment you have brought me to. Such a freedom I have found in you. You're the healer who makes all things new. We are thanking God for this day. Not going back, Mother. We are moving ahead. Good morning, Mother Valerie. How are you this lovely morning on this February 13th day? Shout out to my niece, Ariel. Happy birthday, Ariel. My little mini-me who thinks she don't look like me, but she do. But anyway, shout out to my niece, Ariel, for this. Today is her birthday. Tomorrow is Love Day. Woo-hoo. And I just say thanking God for love, for it is patient and it is kind. Thanking you, Mother Valerie, for joining me this morning. We got some word, we got some word, we got some word. Mm-hmm. And the word of God is, a lie is a lie. You can't make it the truth. Wow. And that will be from our text today coming out of Matthew chapter 26, where Peter going to have a moment. He's going to have a moment thinking that, you know, I don't know him. You know, kind of telling a little lie. No, he ain't telling a little lie. He's telling a big lie. You know, Peter just kind of had a moment. You know, he had a moment, Mother. So we're going to call it a moment that Peter had. And denying Christ. We can't deny Jesus. There's those that are going to try to deny him in the last days, and they're going to wish they knew who he was. So I'm grateful that I know who he is. I'm grateful that he knows my name. Hallelujah. I am glad to be a child of the Most High. So Mother Valerie, I'm turning it over to you to pray us in the throne as we get ready to move forward on the Word of God and in the Word of God. You know, because as Mother Valerie will be coming to you this morning from the Old Testament, and what many will say, oh, that is so boring. How many sockets? How many this? How many that? But understand, you got to measure stuff. God didn't play with his temple. God didn't just say, oh, let me just throw this thing together. No, it was absolute. It was absolute, everything in its proper place. And you couldn't say, the artisans couldn't say, well, you know, I don't have any blue, so I'll just use this purple. No, that's not what God said. And then you can't come back to God and say, well, God, that is purple. I mean, that is blue. When you're looking at it and you know it's purple, that's a lie. And so you can't make a lie. You can't say that something is 50 cubits when it's 40 cubits, because that's a lie. And amen. All you have to do is look when everything is 50 cubits and your 40 cubits is throwing off the balance of everything. So, again, you got to do everything is measured for truth. A measurement is a measurement, and it is the truth. You can't lie about a measurement. Because all you have to do is take your rod or take your measuring tape, and you know that if I say that I'm 60 inches tall and I'm 59 and a half, then I'm not 5 feet tall. So I'm saying I'm 60 inches tall because that's what I'm saying. I don't know because, you know, they say when you get older, you start to shrink. So I'm praying that I don't have any shrinkage, that I'm still 60 inches long. You know, so we have to make sure that we tell the truth. And, you know, because a lie will always come out for what it is. A lie is a lie, and the truth is the truth. And the truth is, Kansas City Chiefs won the game on Sunday night. The 49ers can't come and say, well, no, we won. And it's like, no, you didn't. But, yes, we did, because a lie is a lie. So we got to remember that. And that was where God woke me up early this morning to just to get me, because I wasn't sure where I was going today as far as title, because most times the title comes actually from the scripture. But this morning, mm-hmm. early, that was what God woke me up with for my title for today. So, Mother Valerie, we know what is it? A lie is a lie, and the truth is the truth. So make sure that the folks in your life are the ones that tell the truth. As Anthony Anderson and his mother, and from way back in the old days, to tell the truth, you know, is for real. We got to tell the truth. But anyway, Mother, I turn it over to you to pray us in this lovely, cool 29-degree morning as we move forward in the Word of God.
Amen. Good morning, people of God. God is a good God all the time. The temperature today is the 29th, February the 13th. Father God, in Jesus' name, we want to thank and praise you for waking us up again. You did it again. God, you do it again and again and again, and we are grateful. We are grateful. We say hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for who you are. Thank you for all that you do, will do, and have done. We just praise your holy name, for you are worthy. You're worthy to be praised. You are a gracious God, a loving Father. In Jesus' name, bless this word. Bless Pastor Bridget, and bless your word as it goes forth. And God, we thank you for bringing Pastor Jesse back safely. Bless the Table Life Ministries, and we will give you praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm coming out of Exodus 37:1, 38, and 31. Then Basil made the ark of acacia wood, 2.5 cubits was its length. A cubit and a half is width, and a cubit and a half is height. He overlaid it with pure gold. He overlaid it with pure gold. I mean, that temple was something to see. If you know what gold looks like, they had gold everywhere. He overlaid it with pure gold inside and outside and made a molding of gold all around it. He cast for it 4 rings of gold to be set in its corners. 2 rings on one side, 2 rings on the other side of it. He made poles of acacia wood, overlaid them with gold. He put the poles into the rings at the side of the ark to bear the ark. He also made the mercy seat of pure gold. 2.5 cubits was its length, and a cubit and a half its width. He made 2 cherubims of beaten gold. He made them of one piece at 2 ends of the mercy seat, 1 cherubim at one end on this side, and the other cherubim at the other end on that side. He made the cherubims at the 2 ends of one piece with the mercy seat. The cherubim spread out their wings above and covered the mercy seat with their wings. They faced one another. The face of the cherubim was towards the mercy seat. He made the table of acacia wood 2 cubits. 1 was its length, and a cubit its width, and a cubit and a half its height. He overlaid it with pure gold and made a molding of gold all around it. Also, he made a frame of a hand breadth all around it and made a molding of gold for the frame all around it. And he cast for it 4 rings of gold, put the rings on the 4 corners where its 4 legs. The rings were close to the frame as holders for the poles to bear the table. He made the poles of acacia wood to bear the table, overlaid them with gold. He made of pure gold the utensils which were on the table, its dishes, cups, its bowls, its pitchers for pouring. Also made the lampstand of pure gold. Of handlework, he made the lampstand, itself, its branches, its bowls, or mental knobs, and its flowers were of the same piece. 6 branches came out of the side, 3 branches of the lampstand out of one side, and 3 branches of the lampstand out of the other side. There were 3 bowls made like almond blossoms on one branch, with its ornamental knob and a flower. 3 bowls made like almond blossom on the other branch, with an ornamental knob and a flower. And so for the six branches coming out of the lampstand, and on the lampstand itself was four bowls made like almond blossoms, each with its ornamental knob and flower. There was a knob under the first two branches of the same, a knob under the second two branches of the same, and a knob under the third two branches of the same, according to six branches extended from it. Their knobs and their branches were of one piece. All of it was one hammered piece of pure gold. And he made its seven lamps, its wick trimmers, and its trays of pure gold. Of a talent of pure gold, he made it with all its utensils. He made the incense altar of acacia wood. Its length was a cubit, and its width a cubit. It was square, and the two cubits was its height. Its horns were of one piece with it. He overlaid it with pure gold, its top, its sides all around, and its horns. He also made for it a molding of gold all around it. He made two rings of gold for it under its molding by its two corners on both sides as holders for the poles with which to bear it. He made the poles of acacia wood and overlaid them with gold. Also made the holy anointing oil and the pure incense of sweet spices according to the work of the perfumer. Chapter 38. He made the altar of burnt offerings of acacia wood. 5 cubits was its length, 5 cubits its width. It was square, and its height was 3 cubits. He made his horns on its four corners. The horns were of one piece with it. He overlaid it with brass. He made all the utensils for the altar, the pans, the shovels, the basins, the forks, and the fire pans. All his utensils he made of bronze. And he made a grate of bronze network for the altar under its rim, midway from the bottom. He cast 4 rings for the 4 corners of the brass grating as holders for the poles. And he made the poles of acacia wood and overlaid them with bronze. Then he put the poles into the rings on the sides of the altar for which to bear it. He made the altar hollow with boards. He made the lava of bronze and its base of bronze from the bronze mirrors of the serving women who assembled all the door of the tabernacle of meeting. Then he made the court on the south side. The hanging of the court were a fine wooden linen, 100 cubits long. There were 20 pillars for them with 20 bronze sockets. The hooks of the pillars and their bands were silver. On the north side, the hanging was 100 cubits long, with 20 pillars and their 20 bronze sockets. The hooks of the pillars and the bands were silver. And on the west side, there were hanging of 50 cubits with 10 pillars and their 10 sockets. The hooks of the pillars and the bands were silver. On the east side, the hanging was 50 cubits. The hanging of one side of the gate was 15 cubits long with their 3 pillars and the 3 sockets. And the same for the other side of the court gate on the side, and that were hanging of 15 cubits with their 3 pillars and their 3 sockets. All the hangings of the court all around were of fine wooden linen. The sockets for the pillars were bronze. The hooks of the pillars and their bands were silver, and the overlay of the capitals was silver, and all the pillars of the court had bands of silver. The screen for the gate of the court was woven of blue, purple, scarlet thread and a fine wooden linen. The length was 20 cubits, and the height among its width was 5 cubits, corresponding to the hanging of the court. There were 4 pillars with their 4 sockets of bronze. The hooks were silver, and the overlay of their capitals and their bands was silver. All the pegs of the tabernacle and of the court all around was bronze. This is the inventory of the tabernacle of the testimony, which was counted according to the commandment of Moses for the service of the Levites by the hand of Ishmael, son of Aaron, the priest. Phasael, the son of Uri, the son of Hur of the tribe of Judah, made all that the Lord had commanded Moses. And with him, Elohad, the son of Ahimash of the tribe of Dan the engraver and designer, a weaver of blue, purple, and scarlet thread, and of fine linen. All the gold that was used and all the work of the holy place, that is, the gold of the offering, was 29 talents, 730 shekels, according to the shekel of the sanctuary. And the silver from those who were numbered of the congregation was 100 talents, 1,775 shekels, according to the shekel of the sanctuary, a deck from each man, that is half a shekel, according to the shekel of the sanctuary, for everyone included in the number from 20 years old and above, were 603,550 men. And from the 100 talents of silver was cast the socket of the sanctuary and the bases of the veil, 100 sockets. From the 100 talents, 1 talent for each socket. Then from the 1,775 shekels, he made hooks for the pillars, overlaid their capitals, and made bands for them. The offering of the brass was 70 talents and 2,400 shekels. And with it, he made the sockets for the door of the tabernacle of meeting, the brass altar, the brass grating for it, and all the utensils for the altar, the sockets for the court all around, the bases for the court gate, all the pegs for the tabernacle, and all the pegs for the court all around. A lot of this, I mean, it was so much gold that was used. What a tabernacle. Everything had to be exact. 50 cubits, 20 cubits. Everything had to be exactly the way God wanted it. He was the designer. Psalms 22:9-15. But you, or he who took me out of the womb, you made me trust while on my mother's breast. I was cast upon you from birth, from my mother's womb. You have been my God. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have surrounded me. Strong bulls of Bashan have encircled me. They gap at me with their mouths like a raging and roaring lion. I'm poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue clings to my jaws. You have brought me to the dust of death. Life's lesson, Exodus 38:21. This is the inventory of the tabernacle of the testimony, which was counted according to the commandments of Moses. God has always taken an acute interest in the offerings and gifts and items of material work that help his people to effectively worship in a corporate setting. Jesus carefully observed what went into the temple treasure. See Mark 12:41. Life lesson, Exodus 37:1. Then Basil made the art of acacia wood. The art of the covenant was essential, a wooden chest covered with pure gold that contained the law of God. It disappeared from biblical records before the Babylonian captivity. Whether it was hidden or destroyed is not generally known. They can't find the Ark of the Covenant. They don't know where it's at. But anyway, God just wants everything done right, decently and in order, exactly the way he wants it done. I'm going to turn this back over to Pastor Bridget. God is just good. All the time.
Yes, he is. All the time.
You walk into that temple of pure gold, acacia wood, purple and linen. Wow.
And
I'll title it, Lie is a Lie, and you can't make it true. When people tell lies, they just lie. You can't just say it's a little white lie or a little bitty lie. A lie is a lie, and you can't make
a lie
the truth. Turn this back to Pastor Bridget.
I love it when, you know, it's like a lie is a lie is a lie is a lie. And, you know, it was, I believe, the comedy movie Friday back in the old days, I guess what I want to call it, back in the day, where one of the characters was telling her boyfriend, you don't have to lie. My sister's cousin saw you with such and such. And, you know, until you watch it again, you don't realize that she is the one actually cheating in the bed with somebody else. And you're like, oh, my. And she's telling him you don't have to lie. That's the ironic part of the whole skit, that most people, it goes right on over their head until they watch the movie a couple of times and you realize, wait a minute, she's in the bed with somebody else. You don't have to lie. Yeah, no, you don't have to lie. You know, we don't have to tell lies. We can tell the truth. And the truth is that it is Jesus who came into this world. It is Jesus who gave his life. It is Jesus who loves us without condition. And all I can say is thank you, Jesus. My mother, Valerie, as I said, as we go back into our Psalms, the word this morning, and it said, but you are he who took me out of the womb. God is the one that puts us in the womb, and God is the one that takes us out of the womb. And nothing can happen to the womb unless God allows it. And but yet we want to act like we are God. We want to take God's place in everything. We want to tell women how to nurse their babies even. You know, and it says, you made me trust while on my mother's breast. I was cast upon you from birth. Come on now. From my mother's womb, you have been my God. But not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. You know, David was going through, and David understood he had the anointing. God had changed it from Saul to him, but yet he's running like he's a hound, like the hounds are chasing him as a fox. And the issue of the matter is that David did not want to hurt Saul. He did not want to hurt Saul. When his son turned against him, he didn't want his son to die. And to the point where he made his people angry with him because he was so falling in love and hollering, Absalom, Absalom, that folks was like, wait a minute, we fought for you, and yet you calling on the traitor? You know, and that's how people feel. You know, we fought for you, and you call us this, that, and the other. You know, we cannot lie. And then it tells us, many bulls have surrounded me. Sean bulls, as Bashan, have encircled me. David was letting us know, I'm going through. And you know, Mother, how when you get so tired that you don't have any water, and it says my strength is dried up like a pot shed, and my tongue clings to my jaw. You know, I have been so tired like that. You have brought me to the depths of death. You know, you feel like, Lord, if I don't get some water soon, I'm not going to make it. I got to get me some water. You know, we need water to survive. So many times we drink sports drinks. We drink everything. But what we need is some water. And I'm sorry, a sports drink is not water. And you can't make it into water. And if somebody tells you this sports drink is water, that's a lie. It's a sports drink, and it's not water. Water is water, and a sports drink is a sports drink. It may have a lot of water in it, but once you add all the, it's not water. It's a sports drink. You know, and it's so many times in our life, Mother, we have been lied to, and folks just fall for the okey-doke. You know, lied to about so many things, and there are people that would prefer to believe a lie than to believe the truth. And I'm sorry, when the Lord says that I am, that you overlay it with gold, you can't use something else. It said gold. When it said silver, you can't use something else. It has to be silver. You know, and when the Lord told you a half a shekel, that's what he meant, a half a shekel, which meant you have to measure it. You know, so many times folks want to take the shortcut and then try to make that shortcut into the real thing. That's like, you know, what is it? Now they have lab diamonds. That's it, lab diamonds. A diamond is a diamond. And if your diamond was made in a lab, it's fake. is not a real diamond. So, you know, we have to remember that a diamond is a diamond, and a fake diamond made in a lab is that a fake diamond. And you can't make it what God has made in nature and try to say, oh, well, it's a diamond because we made it in the lab. No, it's fake. It's not the truth. It's not a diamond. It is a fake diamond. You know, I'm not saying it's, what is it, zirconian, that, you know, man-made diamond, but it's a lab-made diamond, which means it is what, mother? It's fake. It's a lie. It is not a real diamond. So, you know, we got to remember things like that, you know, so many times caught up in the reality of things, and the reality is the reality, and the truth is the truth, and you can't change it. And as we go here, it says this in Proverbs, you know, 8:12-21, you know, Solomon, trying to impart wisdom, says, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out what knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Lord to hate evil, pride and arrogance in the evil way, and the perverse mouth I hate. Ooh, you think that it came right out of though. Out of today's headline, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogance, and the evil way, and the perverse mouth I hate. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. By me, kings reign and rulers decree justice. By me, prince rule and nobles, all the judges of the earth. I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me. When we look for the Lord, we will find the Lord. Riches and honor are with me. The Lord gives, and it's the Lord that's going to take away. You know, folks think they're so rich and so mighty, they're so this and that, they don't have a clue that they are one finger pop from the Lord, from being destitute. They need to stop. You know, folks get all caught up in themselves. And they don't understand there is only one God, and it is not us. You know, and it says, I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me. Riches and honor are with me, enduring riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yes, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I traverse the way of righteousness in the midst of the path of justice, that I may cause those who love me to inherit wealth, that I may fill their treasuries. And this is the word that we need to stay with us. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Say it again, mother. I'm going to say it again. Proverbs 8:13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Not hate the person. Hate evil. And he says, as we grow spiritually, we gradually change from trying to stop doing the evil thing that we really want to do to actually hating the evil thing so that we no longer want to do it. We can't follow after evil. What a man speaketh, so is he. You know, if somebody speaks evil, then they are evil. If somebody speaks discontent, they are discontent. Whatever they say coming out of their mouth is who they are. If they are always talking violent, then they are violent. We got to remember who you are. You got to be careful what you comes out of your mouth. And there are times that people need to keep their tongues behind their teeth. But instead they talk to the point where they create confusion and dissent and wickedness, just wicked. And the word has told us the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. If you are loving something evil, then you are not fearing God. True. You got to fear God. Because, mother, a lie is a lie. And I'm sorry. I'm going to say it. If that's all you can follow after is a lie, then you need Jesus. I ain't saying this. I'm sorry you need Jesus. I'm saying I'm sorry that you fell for the okey-doke. And you need to pray. Prayer changes all kind of things. That I believe with my whole heart. And as we go into our word this morning, This is where our title is coming out of, Matthew chapter 26, verses 51 through 75. And as we know, Judas has come into the garden. He has kissed Jesus, and now they are taking him. Claim it is through the court. You know, but he comes, and he's so sweet, mother. He comes, and he says, "Greetings, Rabbi." And And every time I read that word, but Jesus said to him, "Friend, why have you come?" And then they came and laid hands on Jesus and took him. "Greetings, Rabbi."
My Lord.
And kissed on the jaw. And every time I read this word, what comes to my mind is the song from back in my day, back in the 70s, smiling faces tell lies, they don't tell the truth. Beware of the pat on the back, it just may hold you back. And, you know, I thought about that song, you know, whenever I see that, he comes and, "Greetings, Rabbi." And what did he do? Setting him up to be taken. For 30 pieces of silver. And as we go into the word, it says this, "And suddenly one of those who were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword, struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear." And we know who that was. His name starts with a P. I will never. What did Peter say? He told Jesus that, you know, you know, I'm with you. I'm with you. You know, and I'm paraphrasing. You know, Peter's like, I got your back. I got you. You know, and Jesus had to tell him, "You're going to deny me 3 times. I will not deny you," Peter told him. And
Amen.
"Even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you." Okay. Again, be careful what comes out of your mouth. So Peter made a vow. "If I have to die, I will not deny you."
My
now,
Lord.
What did he say about that?
Amen.
And then Jesus tells him, says, "But Jesus said, pray to my Father, and he will provide me with angels. That he will provide me with more than 12 legions of angels. How then could the scriptures be fulfilled that it must happen thus?" In that hour, Jesus said to the multitude, "Have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs to take me? I sat daily with you, teaching in the temple, and you did not seize me. But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled." Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. Did they run, mother? Scatter, mother.
Amen.
What happened to the 11, mother? I don't think they was with them, were they? It said, and they fled. And it says, and those who had laid hold of Jesus led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. But Peter followed him at a distance to the high priest's courtyard, and he went in and sat with the servants to see the end. Now the chief priests, the elders, and all the council sought false testimony against Jesus. Can I say a lie is a lie?
Amen.
Sought false testimonies against Jesus to put him to death, but found none. Even though many false witnesses came forward, they found none. But at last, two false witnesses came forward and said, "This fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days. And the high priest arose and said to him, "Do you answer nothing? What is these men testifying against you?" But Jesus kept quiet. And the high priest answered and said to him, "I put you under oath by the living God. Tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God." Jesus said to him, "It is as you said." Nevertheless, I say to you, hereafter you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power and coming on the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest tore his clothes, saying, he has spoken blasphemy. What further need do we have of witnesses? Look now, you have heard his blasphemy. What do you think? They answered and said, he is deserving of death. Then they spat in his other, struck him with the palm of their hands, saying, bear, prophesy to us, Christ, who is the one who struck you? Now Peter sat outside the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him, saying, you also were with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied it before them all, saying, I don't know what you're saying. A lie. And when he had gone out to the gateway, another girl saw him and said to those who were there, this fellow also was with Jesus of Nazareth. But again, he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. It's a lie. And a little later, those who stood by came up and said to Peter, surely you also are one of them, but your speech betrays you. Then he began to curse and swear, saying, I do not know the man. A rooster crowed, and Peter remembered the word of Jesus, who had said to him, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. So he went out and wept bitterly. A lie is a lie is a lie. And Jesus denied him three times. After bowing, I got you. I say to you that this night, Jesus told him, this night, not tomorrow, not next week, but this very night, you will deny me three times.
Amen.
I don't know him. I don't know the man. Know what he told him? I don't know the man. Then you don't get the cussing. I do not know the man. Told them all. Then you're going to cuss and swear. I do not know him. Can you can see the attitude? After he told
my
you,
Lord.
What did you do? Oh, hey, I'm with you. I would die for you. Okay. I'm gonna go. Even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble. You know what Peter said? Can all that. And when, as they say, when he had to tell the truth, he couldn't do it. Couldn't do it. Didn't lie. Lied three times. Don't know him. I don't know the man. And then going to cut this way out. I don't know, expletive, the man. And then that rooster, cock-a-doodle-doo. And what did he do? But cry. And that is what will happen on the last days, where there will be those that would choose silver and gold and a piece of bread over the name of Jesus. I will not do it. I will let them take my head until they say, if you don't take the mark, we're going to cut off your child's head. What will you do? There's a show out, what would you do, that shows different situations of people doing bad things. What would you do? See a little girl being drugged out of a restaurant by a stranger. Will you step in? Or will you let it happen? And say, oh, I remember seeing that little girl. I thought that was her daddy. What would you do? All of these things we have to look at. It's a moral compass.
is a picture. Peter walked with him, talked with him, was his ace, traveling companion, was his friend, who was, what do you say, you, a rock, I will build my church. Peter was important to Jesus. But even Peter, one of the strongest disciples, denied him and lied. When all you had to do was to hear his voice and know he spoke Hebrew and was a Galilean. We got to remember everything is the truth, and the truth is what sets us free. And then it says this for a life example, something to think about this morning. When we read about Peter's denial of Christ, we may be tempted to feel a little self-righteous. Come on now. After all, Peter walked with Christ for 3 years. How could he possibly refuse his friend and rabbi? How could he turn away from the one he called the Christ, the Son of the Living God, Matthew 16:16? True, the situation was very tense, and we can understand why Peter would be fearful. Yet he completely disavowed knowing that Jesus Christ, his denial strikes us as wrong to the very core of our being. We're sure we would never deny our Savior in such a terrible way. Yet before we condemn Peter's actions, we must take a long look at ourselves. How often do we doubt that God will help us in a difficult situation? How often do we avoid the subject of religion so that we will not have to tell people we're Christians? Come on now. Quiet. Because everybody else is partying over here, wobbling back, doing this, doing that, hanging here, hanging that, smoking weed because you know it's legal, doing all this stuff, and you want to be quiet because you don't want to create any confusion, and you don't want folks to think you're just so religious. So you don't say, that's wrong, and I'm a Christian. That's like the Christians that go to with the group, and they haven't cocktails, but you don't drink, and you don't have the gall and the nerve to say, I don't drink, because you don't want anybody to know that you're a Christian, because you don't want them to think that you're trying to act better than them. And it goes on to say, how often do we indulge in sins that are clearly prohibited in God's word? Though Peter denied Christ in a way that was loud and public, we may deny Christ in hundreds of smaller ways every day. So we must ask ourselves, how often do I deny Christ's existence in my own life? We know that Peter was devastated by his actions, Matthew 26:75. We also know that he would completely change his attitude about being Christ's representative. In 1 Peter 4:14-16, he tells us, If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you. For the spirit of glory and of God's rest is upon you. If anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this manner. Peter rejoiced that he was counted worthy to suffer shame for his name, Acts 5:41. We must also allow the Holy Spirit to make that change in us. We must come to the place where Christ comes first in every area of our life, no matter what the consequences. Are you there, friend? Or will you continue to deny Christ with your actions like Peter? You must make your choice. The Savior is waiting. Do you lie just to fit in? Do you lie because you don't want your family to turn against you? Do you indulge in a lie because you don't want to lose your job? A lie is a lie, and the truth is the truth. Where do you stand? On the Lord's side Are you just trying to fit in with the group? Are you trying to fit in with the crowd? Where do you stand? And we all want to stand on the side of Jesus because he is our Savior. And this morning, our prayer, let you in. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Psalm 139, verse 23, NLT. O God, search out my heart and my mind. Get right into the core of every manner. You see the worries folded across my brow and the questions I wrestle with on occasion on a consistent basis. You don't pretend to not see what is circling in my thoughts. I don't need to hide them from you. When I don't know how to form a prayer about these things, hear my heart and answer the cries that remain under the surface. In your wisdom, give divine answers and solutions to problems that cannot be solved by my own logic. I know the mark of your move in my life. It's what always feels like peace and looks like something better than I could know how to ask for it. Today, let your word bring peace into my mind, calming and dispelling anxious thoughts. Let the swirl of worry be calmed, bodies of water, after a storm. Thank you for your kind care of me in every season. I love you. Can you give God control of your thoughts today, inviting him into that space to bring peace to worry and anxiety? Are you trusting God today? Are you believing and knowing that he loves you more than anything? And we got to love him back. Lord, I love you more than anything. I trust in you. And I know that I know I don't have to lie because it is the truth that sets me free. And that is our word this morning. We got a word from my sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. And always, just want to thank God for all of you this morning. And it says this, when one person walks out of your life, trust that God has another set up to walk in. Have a trust in God Tuesday. Have a truth in God Tuesday. Again, don't worry, because you got those folks the day before Valentine's Day. They want to go in and cause an argument so that come Valentine's Day, they don't have a gift, mother. So they cause an argument the day before so that they don't have to give a gift on Valentine's Day because y'all was estranged. Come on now. When all the truth is, you just don't have the money. So just say, I don't have any money to do that this year. And leave it alone. But I love you, and so I'm going to cook you a good dinner. That's what a good husband would do. You know, we don't have to lie. You don't have to lie. Just tell the truth. I don't have any money. And let it go. You know, but this is what we do. When one person walk out, just remember this. Out of your life, trust that God has another set up to walk in. Mother Valerie, we're going to have a trust in God Tuesday. We're going to have a truth-telling Tuesday. The truth is, and leave it alone, but God loves you, and he loves you because you are his, and he is yours. Keep loving God as he loves you, and watch it work in your life. I love you. Mother Valerie loves you. It has nothing you can do about it, but love God right along with us. And that's all we got this morning. So if anybody comes late, it's over. Why? Because I got to go somewhere. And mother's going back to rest. So as we get ready to wrap it up, we just pray. Father God in heaven, we thank you again for this day that you have made. We thank you for your word, God, which touched hearts. We pray that it touched hearts, minds, and spirits. And Lord God, we ask you to give us strength, to give us wisdom, to give us more of you, Lord God. Keep us in your loving peace and keep us in your wings, Lord God, that the truth is the truth and a lie is a lie, and we will always stand with you on your words of truth. In the precious and holy name of Jesus, we pray. Father God, watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, we pray over all that listen late, listen live. We ask you to bless them, to guide them, to lead them, that they will walk in perfect peace. They will walk in truth. They will walk with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Mother Valerie.
You know, Pastor Bridget, Matthew's verse 59, it said, now the chief priests, the elders, and all the council sought false testimony against Jesus to put him to death, but they found none. Even though many false witnesses came forward, they found none. But at last, two false witnesses came forward and said, this fellow said, I'm able to destroy the temple of God and to build it up in 3 days. And the high priest arose and said to him, do you answer nothing? I mean, when people lie about you and you listening to those lies, it said,
come on now, say it.
Silent. He didn't say anything. I wonder, when will I be able to grow when people are lying on me and saying all false things against me? Can I keep silent? Can any of us keep silent? People are just lying on you. You know that they lying. They know that they lying, testifying falsely against you, and you don't say anything? You just keep silent? I love that about the Lord.
He said, Mother. He said, she said, and the I heard. That's what I call him. The he said, she said, and the I heard. What did you hear and who said it? But if they can't tell you who said it, then you know what? You didn't hear anything. Because if you can't be brave enough to tell me who said this lie on me, then I don't want to hear from you. Because, you know, as my mother used to say, a dog that brings a bone is a dog that carries the bone. You know, the folks that come to tell you what somebody said, they probably was all up in the mix too. So I don't want to hear what he said. I don't want to hear what she said. I don't want to hear what you heard. I don't want to hear it. Because if you can't say who told you, then don't tell me. Keep it to yourself.
Amen.
Keep behind the teeth. Because, you know, as they were trying to get Jesus, and they got mad because he wouldn't even address the lies. He wouldn't address
it.
Why to shut up? But when they asked the truth, he said, but Jesus, then he said to him, tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God. And Jesus said to him, it is as you said. That's it. Nevertheless, I say to you, hereafter you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power, coming on the clouds of heaven. In other words, I'm not addressing the lie, but I'm going to tell
Amen.
You for who I am.
Okay.
And when you see me again, this is who I will be. You know, and then, of course, we want to get all crazy. When the truth comes out, we want to get crazy and have a hissy fit moment. But the truth is the truth, and you can't change it. You can't change it. The truth is the truth. And all folks hollering and whooping about this and that, here and there, they got to stand before God just like you and I, Mother.
Amen.
And if you think you're going to stand before God and say, but Lord, I thought, and the Lord says, but I showed you who my Son was. I showed you what was his name. I showed you everything, and he told you who he was. But you chose to believe in the evil one. You chose to follow after the goat, put it where the goats could get it, and now you're going with them. You got to be careful. We got to be careful. And when we go into our closet, when we go into our prayer, we ask God, Lord, give me discernment to know the truth from lies.
and watch God work in your life. The truth is the truth, and a lie is a lie. Keep trusting God for the truth of a man. And Mother,
Amen.
It's time for us to go. Thank you so much
Amen.
For enlightening and opening that up discussion again, because that was important. That was an important word. And so all we want to say to you guys today is send in. Thank you for joining us. You know, we love to have Bible studies. Come join us. Tell a friend. You know, tell somebody. There's Bible study on Blog Talk. It's not just music. It's a word from God. And as we wrap up, we just want to say again, thank you for taking time out to join us. Thank you for getting up early in the morning and starting your new day with the Word of God. Come join us again tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. Central Standard Time. If God is willing, we'll be here. Have a blessed day, Mother Valerie. It's a wrap.
It's a wrap.
And again, please keep Mother Rita in your prayers, family. She is under the weather. She is going through some things, and we just want God's will to be done. Keep Mother Rita in your prayers, because, again, there would not be a Blog Talk Radio had Mother Rita not been a part of it. She's been with me since day one. She and Sister Carolyn. So please keep them both, as well as Mother Valerie, in your prayers as their family, our family, goes through. So please keep Mother Rita in your prayers, family. More prayer, more power. And we're sending all kind of prayer power to Mother Rita this morning as she has to have some surgery. So please keep her in your prayers. Thank you so much. We appreciate it. We appreciate you. And as Mother Rita would say, it's a wrap.
It is a wrap. It's a wrap.
It's a wrap.